good morning to Troy Brink, our Denver 7 insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heat and Air. Stokely sitting in for Stink, who is off today. Troy, good morning. And like everybody else, I'm curious. We all reacted. How did you react when you heard about the John Gruden news?
Yeah, I mean, the consequences were appropriate. The visceral reaction to his emails, where he offended pretty much everyone imaginable, this was the only conclusion. I mean, the NFL waited, I think, to see if the Raiders would do something, and then clearly there was pressure for Gruden to resign. And it's going to be interesting to see if that involved some type of settlement, but regardless, because he had $70 million left essentially on his contract, you know, I don't understand how he coached on Sunday, because they had the emails, the Raiders. That's why I thought he was going to be suspended Sunday. And then ultimately, as this thing played out, he was probably going to have to step down or be fired. But you can't do what he did. I mean, I understand it's 10 years ago, but it doesn't matter. I mean, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant in the world, and it comes to light, and there's consequences to it. And so this was the only conclusion that was appropriate. And we'll see where it goes, because honestly, based on this, there needs to be some more transparency into the other 649,000 emails as it relates specifically to the Washington football team. I mean, John Gruden is going to be the only guy that loses his job over this? That would seem to me as selective morality based on the investigation is centering on the Washington football team, not John Gruden and not Jay Gruden and not Bruce Allen. So, but this was the appropriate consequence for John Gruden.
Troy, how much more pressure does that put on the Broncos to now go out and get a win? I mean, you already need a win. You're playing at home against a Raiders team that has been struggling, that has lost two in a row. How much more pressure now is this on Vic Fangio to get this ship corrected and fixed and go out there and get a win? You're talking about a football team that just lost their pretty much offensive coordinator and their head coach.
I agree. It's a must-win. It was already, for me, a must-win in terms of a winning season and contending when you look at the way the schedule sets up. Now, maybe there's a win on the schedule against Kansas City that I didn't see, because Kansas City's defense is just so porous that maybe you can win at home against Kansas City in December in Kansas City. The Broncos are historically terrible, so I don't care what Kansas City's record is at that point. I don't anticipate the Broncos being a favorite, nor would I pick them to win at Kansas City. But to your point, Brandon, they just lost their head coach, their offensive coordinator. They're in complete chaos, and the Broncos have looked unprepared in the first halves of the last two games. If you come out and look unprepared and the Raiders somehow rally around their special teams coach and beat you, that is a complete indictment on this coaching staff. So it's not just about this win. It's looking like understanding the circumstances of urgency, of mindset, and also the gift you've been handed. Unfortunately, you know, when a coach gets fired midweek, early week, that is a huge advantage for the opponent, especially when that head coach in Gruden, like you said, was not only their head coach, he was their offensive coordinator. He's the face of the franchise. And if you can't win that game, I mean, who else do you beat then? I mean, that's why I'm just like, those are games that's a game you have to win based on A, you're at home, you're favored, and now they don't have their head coach. So, yeah, I think we have to watch it with scrutiny, and that if the Broncos come out unprepared and lose, it's a complete indictment of the current coaching staff.
Okay, we knew going back to the summer that that date would probably show up at some point, maybe earlier than expected. But the idea that, hey, people are going to now be held accountable and are going to be coaching for their jobs. Are we now at that point that this is what is at stake on Sunday?
Well, if they were to lose Sunday, I always say this about coaching changes, and I don't root for people to lose their jobs. I never do. You cover sports, and I've been covering pro sports for 30 years. This is inevitable. When it's a production-based business. Brandon knows that, he lived it. Players are held to that consequence and held to that standard. That's what always would frustrate me, when management's not held to the same standard as the player. Player struggles, he gets sent to AAA. He gets designated for assignment. In football, he gets cut and becomes a ghost. You never see him again. Well, the people making the decisions to choose those players and coach those players ultimately have to suffer consequences if the results aren't there. And this season was set up. We're not rebuilding. You have to understand the context that this was a season set up and framed by Payton, that this was a playoff team. This team could have a winning record. And so if they don't, yes, and they lose this game, yes, the scrutiny and the Bunsen burner turns up to medium high at that point, because then you start looking at the schedule and start playing the math, and it gets complicated. because now you're going to have to win a couple games that earlier in the year you didn't think you were going to win, if you're being honest with yourself. So, yeah, that's what this is about. I mean, that's what if you're a playoff team, if you're a contending team, you beat the Raiders at home. And, frankly, you should have beaten the Steelers on the road. That's the kind of game you lose that now you have to win a game maybe you shouldn't win. And this Raiders game, if you were to lose it, and essentially then you fall to 500 and you look at the remaining road games where they will not be favored in any of those, that's where the math starts to get really fuzzy and greasy for this current group.
Troy, how did the Steelers run the football on the Broncos the way they did? You're talking about the team coming into that game that was last in the NFL in rushing, and all of a sudden they came out and they did it early and often and at will against the Denver Broncos. How were they able to do that?
Well, they clearly had the mindset, because if Big Ben was playing for his career in some ways, like, is this the end of Big Ben? If they go out and get smoked by the Broncos 27-10 and he throws two picks and throws 55 passes, you probably see him go on IR with a quote-unquote injury, and they allow him to kind of fade into the oblivion gracefully. And they realized, which we all thought before the season, they're going to run. They need to run the football like Peyton at the end of his career. You have to have real balance to give an aging quarterback a chance, so he's not, you know, avoiding pressure all the time. And in the case, what did I see? I just saw him more consistent in how they ran the football. You know, I was talking to Mark about this before. Their running game, not only were they only averaging 55 yards a game entering, they were last in rush attempts, but they committed to it, number one, Brandon. They were more physical at the point of attack than I had seen on film, and they were just more consistent. It wasn't like one play reverse, one play inside zone, one play power. It just looked like before, in watching them, they were all over the map. They didn't know who they were as a run team. And Najee Harris got into a groove, and they kept giving him the ball. And that's part of the running game, is consistency and commitment. So why? They were more physical than the Broncos. And they were more consistent in the play, in the plays they ran in the run game. And it was disappointing, because I thought that was the one thing the Broncos would do, was stop the run and make Big Ben beat them. But once they were able to run the ball, Big Ben had time. And he was very functional and accurate that we really hadn't seen in the previous game.
All right, Troy, thank you very much.
You got it, guys. Take care. See you.
All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Bronco insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.